United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. I now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, Try to Live a Happy Life, given on May 14, 1991, in Colorado, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
I go back and forth between surrender and wanting God's will, and then asking God for things, and then feeling like if I ask, it may limit something greater that God has for me.
Oh, that's fine. That's good. It's good that you ask this intelligent question. Yes. You see, if we have to ask, then we ask. Okay? And God knows how much to give. He shouldn't give in your limit, but He should give in His limit anyhow, if He is God. So why bother? Okay? Ask when you need to. Later you will grow up and give it up. Don't worry. God knows what you truly want. Yeah? Don't worry. If He doesn't know, that's it's His fault. Or her fault. Let's make Him feminine. To please the woman.
I have trouble with asking in the sense that I think God gave us everything. We don't believe.
He does give everything. He does.
That's His kingdom. It is truly, you know, but nobody buys it, nobody believes it.
Yeah.
So what's the point of asking?
We already know.
To is tune in and allow ourselves to accept.
Yeah. Well, you can ask. You can ask, say, oh, God, I probably shouldn't ask you this, but but let me ask you anyhow, since since it settled down my mind, and then whether you give it or not is up to you. Okay? You see what I need? Yeah. I ask, but you don't need to give what's not good for me. Okay? Just tell him.
It is the Father's true pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Yeah.
And one day, it just absolutely, you know, I said, that's true. Just register.
Yeah.
And there was nothing, but absolutely nothing in this world that I wanted.
Yeah.
And from morning till night, for several weeks,
you feel so blissful. Yeah.
And special delivery. It was the strangest. Things were coming from all directions.
Yes.
There was nothing I wanted.
Yeah.
So I really experienced.
This is fine. But also in the Bible, it says that ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be open. So it wasn't forbidden to ask. Yeah? But you will reach a stage when you don't want to ask anymore. Even Nirvana, you throw it in the Ganges. You know? Then you're okay. At that time, you're fine. Now you need to ask, just ask. But he won't give you anyhow if it's no good for you. So don't worry. Yeah, he should know better, no? So we can ask for anything we want, and then let's see what he gives. So don't worry that he gets too much or too little, yeah? He probably take a break somewhere, yeah? Okay.
I have not been initiated yet, but my husband has been in Boulder.
Are you allowed to ask anyhow?
Yeah, I just want to know. We're moving to Canada in 1 month. Mm. And I would like to be initiated under you, and I'm wondering when's the next time.
Oh, before you go to Canada, right?
Or if you come
in Canada, also, okay. No, I have disciples in Canada. And you can get initiation from there through invisible life.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't need to be present at the initiation.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you.
I can be absent but present. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, you get experience all the same. You can see me also over there if you're that high. Okay. Yeah, in China there are many people who never saw me before but were initiated through my disciples. They each one saw the master. So don't worry, huh? Okay, if you want initiation, I'll send somebody. And the vegetarian diet's okay? I really appreciate your effort and sincerity. I'm really very touched for the Oriental people to be vegetarian. I feel it's natural because most of them love, you know, raw food. For example, the Vietnamese people, they eat maybe 5 days out of the week with raw herbs and vegetables. And sauce, you see, they don't always cook so much. And they don't always put them in oil. If they do it, probably just dip them in boiling water for 1 or 2 minutes. Get them out. And dip them in soy sauce. So for the Oriental people, or Vietnamese people, and Chinese people, Indian people, to eat vegetarian, it is a normal thing. But for Americans, especially different culture, and the theory of karma, reincarnation, and vegetarian are not very well known in your country. And so I do appreciate your sincerity and effort. Are you happy with the vegetarian diet? The bloodless food? You okay? A few more nights? The figure get better and feel lighter, huh?
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%, reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer, stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years, higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion U.S. dollars for reducing global warming. uses 4.5 times less land to grow food, conserves up to 70% clean water, saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production, reduces pollution from untreated animal waste, maintains cleaner air, saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year, stop 80% of global warming, plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
I haven't been initiated yet, would like to, and I do eat eggs, but they're for free-ranging chickens who haven't been fed hormones, and they're not fertilized, but is that still against the rules? I still shouldn't eat eggs? I
shouldn't.
Can I ask why? I'm just curious.
Egg represent reincarnation, and it gives you an impression of reborn.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to go back again, you can.
No, I don't, thanks.
Okay. And also, eggs attracts negativity.
Oh, it does? I didn't realize
it that. It does. All the voodoos people know it. They use eggs to attract entities from people when they have to cast out this
evil spirit or
negative entities from some possessed person. They break eggs here, there, to attract that souls out. Because when a deceased spirit or a disembodied spirit saw eggs, they attract, they think they get reborn again and get a body again. You see?
I see.
That's where they come in.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you for
they come in and then take them out. Broken. Throw them out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, oh, you should know that. You don't know anything about black and white magic?
Not really.
Yeah, no. Better not. I thought the Americans are well versed in all these kind of books. No? Fine.
Some are, but not
God
all.
Save you. Mm. Good, good. But just to let you know.
Okay.
Mm. And also the smell is unpleasant, whether fertilized or unfertilized. Even if I allow you to eat them after initiation, you give them up eventually.
Okay.
After you practice for some time. If you truly, sincerely practice, you will feel so disgusted and revolted and you vomit out everything. Eventually, when your level is higher, you will give it up, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I would not advise you to eat eggs,
okay?
Okay? Try to avoid things which is harmful to us. Not that because of my commandment.
Right.
Anything I handed out to you is secret precepts for everlasting life. Not a commandment by force or by a kind of authority. You understand? Just secret formula for the entry into the kingdom of God.
When Christ was walking the earth with his disciples, most of them were fishermen.
Yeah.
And when they had the group gather around the northern Sea of Galilee, and he thought one day, supposedly, you know, it came about dinner time, and there was nothing to feed except a young man had three loaves and a couple of fish.
Yeah, we heard about
okay.
it all the time.
You hear this one all the time.
We had nothing else except the fish and the bread.
Yeah.
Who knows what he ate? May not be the fish what we think, the fish. Also, how can you feed 5,000 people with three fish and two loaves of bread? Or 200 loaves even. Yeah? Okay? So think about that. Magic. No fish. Only love and magic. Anyhow, this kind of magic any yogi can do. And get some water in again, just cover it with a cloth and open it and become milk. Okay? Now, Jesus don't need any fish. He learned a lot of yogic tricks and magic. He could walk on water and all the kind. This is only yogic trick. So, anyhow, Jesus know a lot of these tricks, like healing the sick, yeah? Walking on the water, making water become wine. These are typical Indian and Tibetan magic tricks. Yeah. So if he make a fish to feed 5,000 people, you know these are not real fish. And if he could do that, why should he need fish to feed himself? When he could feed 5,000 people, he could feed himself easily. Don't worry about that. You read the autobiography of Yogananda. They feed themselves with air. They make a palace out of nothing. They light fire where there is snow and no wood. Don't worry about these people. They don't eat anything. Okay? But you must eat, so eat vegetarian.
Vegetarianism in religion.
The Baha'i Faith. Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that, in the beginning of creation, God determined the food of every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. Selections from the Baha'i Writings of Some Aspects of Health and Healing.
Buddhism. All meats eaten by living beings are of their own relatives. Lankavatara Sutra. Also, after the birth of the baby, care must be exercised not to kill any animal in order to feed the mother with meaty delicacies, and not to assemble many relatives to drink liquor or to eat meat, because at the difficult time of birth, there are innumerable evil demons, monsters, and goblins who want to consume the smelly blood. By ignorantly and adversely resorting to the killing of animals for consumption, they bring down curses upon themselves, which are detrimental to both the mother and the baby. Kasithigarbha Sutra. Be careful during the days immediately after someone's death, not killing or destroying, or creating evil karma by worshipping or offering sacrifice to demons and deities, because such killing and slaughtering committed, or such worship performed, or such sacrifice offered, would not have even an iota of force to benefit the dead, but would entwine even more sinful karma into previous karma, making it even deeper and more serious. Thus, delay his rebirth to a good state. Karma means retribution. Kasithigarbha Sutra.
Gaudai. The most important thing is to stop killing, because animals also have souls and understand like humans. If we kill and eat them, then we owe them a blood debt. Teachings of the Saints.
Christianity. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Holy Bible.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Holy Bible.
Confucianism. All men have a mind which cannot bear to see the sufferings of others. The superior man, having seen the animals alive, cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cries, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. Mencius. Essenes.
I am come to end the sacrifices and feasts of blood, and if ye cease not offering and eating of flesh and blood, the wrath of God shall not cease from you. Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
Hinduism. Since you cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Adilila.
He who desires to augment his own flesh by eating the flesh of other creatures lives in misery in whatever species he may take his birth. Mahabharata anew.
Islam. Allah will not give mercy to anyone except those who give mercy to other creatures. Hadith.
Do not allow your stomachs to become graveyards of animals. Hadith.
Jainism. A true monk should not accept such food and drink as has been specially prepared for him involving the slaughter of living beings. Sutrakatanga.
Judaism. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Holy Bible. Blood meaning flesh.
Sikhism. Those mortals who consume marijuana, flesh, and wine, no matter what pilgrimages, fasts, and rituals they follow, they will all go to hell. Guru Granth Sahib.
Taoism. Do not go into the mountain to catch birds and nets, nor to the water to poison fishes and minnows. Do not butcher the ox that plows your field. Tract of the Quiet Way.
Tibetan Buddhism.
The offering to the deities of meat obtained by killing animate beings is like offering a mother the flesh of her own child, and this is a grievous failure, the supreme path of discipleship.
Zoroastrianism. Those plants, I, Ahura Mazda, or God, rain down upon the earth to bring food to the faithful and fodder to the beneficent cow. Avesta.
I read one of your books, and there was in the back there were letters, and somebody was writing to you about the practice they were doing, and that they were staying away from the five roots, one of them being garlic. What's the deal with that?
I mean, nothing, no big deal. Eat them.
Good.
Eat them if you need, but they smell bad.
Okay.
Smell very bad. So make sure you drink a glass of mint afterward, for compassion's sake. Love thy neighbor. Yeah. Not every neighbor likes garlic smell. Yeah, that's okay. And, well, it is because in the old Indian time, these things are forbidden. Probably too expensive or too smelly. Mm. But nowadays, I saw most of the places, even in the most famous ashram, they cook with garlic and onion, they eat it raw. If you like to eat them, you eat them. Just be moderate in everything, okay? Not to be too strict in everything, but meat, stay away, yeah? Because it has to do with killing, and that is your principle, because you hurt your principle, and you will feel guilty. That's all, okay?
And what about cooking meat for other people?
Well, if they force you, then you cook.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, if you could not turn them around to eat vegetarian, then cook for them, okay? But better not do it by profession, because you earn your money by blood, and that's also way down on your conscience. It's not that I forbid you, I just tell you the secret behind these things. Any profession to do with killing, directly or indirectly, must hurt you, must hurt your soul, because it's your principle that you're trespassing, that you harm, not other people's commandment. Yeah, but you yourself don't like to be chopped into pieces and fed people or animals with it. Yeah, you also love life. Animals do, because they have movement, they have relationship with other animals, and they have loving feeling. Therefore, they love life. They represent life already. Some parts, portion of life, yeah? Therefore, they love life. And if we take away life, we take away a portion of our life. So we have to pay for it in some way or another to even, to make up for the hole that we dig, okay? For the portion of life that we made lost. And then we have to fill the role that we have taken away by force. Because that role was to be played by that animal until certain years, and you just take it away directly or indirectly, yeah? You take part in this crime. So we have to partially play that role somehow to fulfill the whole, to fill the missing part, okay? For example, in the theater, there are different parts, yeah? Different roles. And now if you knock down one of the actors, or the director, fire one, then he has to look for another to replace. If not, then he has trouble. He will lose the job, he will lose the wages, he will lose the money, the whole performance will be spoiled. And he is the one who gets trouble. Okay? Alright. And if you have the director to do that, or knock down that actress, then you're in more trouble. Somehow you have to pay for it, yeah? In some form, money-wise, or go to court, or go to jail, or play that role. Okay?
I just thought that you had so much about picking up other people's
karma. Oh, we do any time.
Yeah.
We sit next to and we share half of the treasure.
Lucky for them.
Bad or good. Yeah, we exchange. And also, we do it by looking, by thinking of people, by just passing by, by sharing the same house, same toilet, same books, same food, same table, same chairs. Yeah, pick up some vibration from people. But what shall we do in this world? That's how we spread the blessing and minimize people's bad karma. That's why we should practice in order to spread the light, minimize darkness. Yeah? Lucky for the people who are picked up by us. Yeah? And lucky for us to do this service. That's why we're practicing. Not only for ourselves. It's for everyone that we encounter. Okay? That we think of. That we make acquaintance with. Okay? That's why our practice is slow. Otherwise, after initiation, you'll be in nirvana speedily. In 1 second. But then, who will bless the world when you're gone? So you have to stay here, pay your debt, level the give and take, and at the same time, bless the world. Because after all, we are all connected with each other. Yeah? People who make the road for us, build the airplane, build a house, everyone share a little bit of our blessing. We can't help that. Just like your income tax. It goes automatically. And the insurance and all things take directly from the wages without you knowing and without you even wanting. You can't stop that. The more you want, the more you have to pay. Okay? Same thing, we live in this world, we want a lot of comfort, yeah? You see, we spend a lot of money, we enjoy lots of people's invention and services, yeah? So when we practice, they are entitled to take away some portion of our blessing, yeah? Of our merit. It's done automatically, you want it or not want it. It will be deducted. That's how your 5th generation, 6th generation will get liberated. That's how your friends and relatives will get blessing when they die because of your practice. Because they are connected with you. Because they have done something to you, for you, because you love them, because they love you. Any exchange, mentally, physically, psychically, will be resulted in some payment, yeah, or some exchange, yeah. They exchange you for the bad, you exchange them for the good. But for the service they have done to you, or for the love they have given you, they deserve this. It's just a little bit more expensive on our part. But why should we calculate so well and so minutely with our brothers and sisters? Let them take what they can. Take all they need. Yeah? Everybody goes to heaven, we go to hell, okay? One or two. And they couldn't bear it, they would take us up anyhow.
First of all, we want to say how much we appreciate you just dropping in on us. It's a great honor for you to do that. We want you to do it again and again.
Thank you. We'll try. It's not far. It's not far from Los Angeles and San Jose. And I often go there. Yeah, because we have the main center there. So I would just pop in now and again.
I was wondering, you have referred to a woman god and to... are there many gods? Is there a hierarchy of gods?
Yes and no. Because God manifested himself in 5 different levels to guide you, to protect you, to see him. Just like the master manifests themselves in different plans, different places to guide disciples. That doesn't mean you have too many masters, you have only one. With different manifestation of light, body, projected to help the disciples in different places. He manifests himself in different levels. As far as the bureaucracy is concerned, these gods are responsible on the road, on our path. Yeah? If you want to see the highest God, you have to go through this. And these are appointed by God to take you home. Just like the Master is appointed by the Most High to lead you home. Now you call God, it's no use. You have to call the Master and the Lords. Because they are appointed to do this job. You can't make the President do the gatekeeper job. Even though it is his palace. Yeah? even if the White House belonged to him. You have to call on the bodyguard or the gatekeeper in order for him to let you come in. You have to call on the secretary. Yeah? And those who are responsible for reception. Yeah? Or lady-in-waiting in the Queen's palace. Yeah? You can't call directly on the Queen and say, "Hey, I'm coming, Elizabeth. Are you ready?" You can't do that. Even though you're a good friend, you know? If you want to see officially, first time, especially first time, you must make an arrangement with those responsible. Okay? Now, don't call on God. You don't know who God is anyhow. Everybody call God, 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 and nobody knows what it is, and you don't have faith on it. Otherwise, they will not go on to do the bad things that they do. Yeah? They're calling God every day, and they're killing each other. They don't know what God is. They don't truly understand. Without initiation from a real master, you don't know what God is anyhow. Together with God, yeah? And call on the living master when you need something.
For the people that are not initiated yet, I've been meditating with your books and stuff. Is it okay to call your name?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. Many people like that, and they have wonderful experiences too, the closeness. And also sometimes they get partially initiated in dream. And also they see the master come into their house. I'll talk to them too, if they're sincere. It works the same. But the initiation process is like that. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
You mentioned in Kuan Yin practice not to use your spiritual practice in healing work.
Right.
Can you clarify that?
Because it's a waste of energy. Too much wasteful to exchange diamond just for a piece of bread. Understand? And if a doctor, for example, he struggled hard to become a physician. I don't say healing is anything bad. Okay, if you want to be a great healer, then follow that path. But you won't reach any higher than just a physical healer or astral healer. Okay? Now, we are on the path to be above that, to heal without healing, to heal by look, by thinking of people, by love alone. And by the way, we have everything else as well. If you learn healing only, all you have is healing power and nothing else. And it's a pity. Suppose a medical man wants to become a doctor of medicine. And now, by the way, he saw the nurse is earning money, you know, while he's struggling with no wages, yeah, for 6-7 years. And the nurses just learned 2-3 years and she can stick needles in the people's vein and she take care of the patient every day and looks like she knows everything, you know? She's doing the similar things like as a doctor does. And she can even earn money at the same time. And while you're struggling all the time, you also stick the needle in and you have to get scolded by another doctors and have no money. And it's the long way to doctorhood, you know? Whereby the nurse is 2 years and she pop in and get money and everything else. It looks attractive. But if you give up your career as a doctor, then you stop at the nurse level. That's all. It's not worth it. If you want to be a doctor. If you want to be a nurse, okay, then it's worth it. Understand clearly the different path? There are many great healers. It's fine. But they can only heal the physical. They cannot heal forever. Whereby our path, we heal forever. You never come back, get sick, get old age, get suffering again. And even most of your illness are gone after initiation. Most of them are gone overnight. Many people are ready for cancer operation after initiation, but no more cancer. For example, I don't heal anything, but I heal everything. You have to get that power of Almighty, all healing, all knowing, all satisfied, instead of only getting a part of the universal power and wisdom. That is all. Okay? Clear? Good.
You mentioned dreams. A few days before you came to Boulder the first time, a couple of months ago, I had a dream about some Chinese masters, and it's the first time that I'd ever remembered any dream about Chinese masters or anything.
You had no connection with Chinese masters?
No.
No, never.
It was you.
Okay.
And then a couple of days later, I found out that that you were coming to town.
Yeah.
And so we came to see you. Yeah. And then I realized that one of the faces was you.
Oh. So.
And I just wondered, you know, what significance that might have.
Oh, many people have that.
Yeah.
Well, they pick up the invisible transmission. Yeah. Just a kind of forewarning that the master's coming to let you know that that one is a real one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he cannot interfere with your freedom. He cannot have free access into your mind when you're not willing to accept. Only a powerful master can do that. Just God wants to let you know that here the messenger is to be sent to you, and this is a real one. That's all.
Because it felt like an initiation.
Yes, sort of.
It was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels comfortable. Everything feels comfortable after a dream is a good one. Okay? Many people get a different impression before I came. Even before I became a master, 20 years ago, many people saw me. They recognized it afterward, or 7 years ago, 10 years ago, or 3 years ago, or just before my disciple came, they also see me, things like that, you know? These are arranged by the Almighty Power to let people know who is who. Some people need this assurance, you understand? Or by your experience, many people get assurance, yeah, about who the master is. It's arranged like that. It's a blessing for you.
We hear a lot about changes that are sort of supposedly imminent as far as the Mother Earth, etc. And I wondered how our practice relates to that situation. I hear a lot of, from a lot of different sources about the end of...
End of the world?
Well, end of this century in terms of ending an era.
Aquarian age and golden age.
Yes, and that there's impending changes, physical changes. Is that anything that relates to this practice?
Yes, it also happened because you changed. Well, it happened to you individually, no? You change, you got initiation, you're a vegetarian, you feel better now, and you're more wise, no? Well, in that case, it's true. The whole humankind get uplifted and turn themselves toward goodness and God. So, in a sense, this clairvoyant prediction is true. He comes back again.
Well, just a lot of people have made prophecies about the year 2000 being a significant time of change.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for the good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, more likely the opposite.
Mm.
Because, again, 2,000 years ago, and Buddha, and then Christ, and so on. So the 2,000 mark seems to bear some significance throughout history, and that's, I don't know if that was what you were kind of asking about or not, but there's a lot of change that is prophesized.
Yeah. So, you want me to become another prophet? Make another prophecy, right? Well, my prophecy is, let's wait and see. The surest way is live until the year 2000, and then we see what happens. It's more fun. You see, if you read the detective book and somebody tell you the end, is that no fun? I don't like to spoil the fun. Yeah? Why? What happened will happen anyhow, whether you say it or not. Where can you run to? How can you run out of God's hand? Let him play what he wants. We watch. Okay? We have no fear. We have no fear of anything. We play the game. Okay? Let's have that attitude better than to know what happened in the future. Let's have the attitude of whatever happened in the future, I face it. You know, that's more brave, more courageous, and more fit for your dignity, yeah? Than just to want to know things about the future and feeling fearful or resentful or anticipating some kind of boredom or disappointment or hurry, let's leave, you know, and things like that. It's not good. It affects our natural growth and affects our surprise, huh? No good. I don't like to know anything about future. If I have that gift, please, I ask God to take it away from me. I like to enjoy surprise. Don't you? Can you imagine you're born and then you know everything about your life? Wow. No? Do you like that? That you're born with clear book about every details in your life until you die. How many hair will be gray and how many teeth will be lost and how many lovers you have and how they treated you. And you enjoy all the pleasure and pain in beforehand. You like that? Good. And when you eat and when you taste it again, it's like secondhand stuff, no? And like already digested food. Yeah, yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah, no fun, huh? No fun. I don't like it. The real wisdom is not to know the future. It's just to know the present. Yeah? Enjoy everything at the present. And don't worry about the past and the future. The most wise person is like that. The wisest man. Know nothing. I don't want to know anything. Have no desire. No desire. And no fear. Because no ego.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
We appreciate your considerate company for this episode of Words of Wisdom. Join us again on Friday for the conclusion of Try to Live a Happy Life. Coming up next is Models of Success, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. We wish evermore peace and harmony.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.